This is Psalm 142, verses 1 through 7. A maskil of David when he was in the cave. A prayer. With my voice I cry out to the Lord. With my voice I plead for mercy to the Lord. I pour out my complaint before him. I tell my trouble before him. When my spirit faints within me, you know my way. In the path where I walk, they have hidden a trap for me. Look to the right and see. There is none who takes notice of me. No refuge remains to me. No one cares for my soul. I cry to you, O Lord. I say, you are my refuge, my portion in the land of the living. Attend to my cry, for I am brought very low. Deliver me from my persecutors, for they are too strong for me. Bring me out of my prison, that I may give thanks to your name. The righteous will surround me, for you will deal bountifully with me. Psalm 142 is about emotions and prayer. It is also about being hemmed in when David is under pressure and strain of being hated and hunted, which is almost too much for David, and his faith is being stretched to the breaking point. But David's faith is undefeated, and this psalm's final words are words of hope. See, Psalm 142 and 57 tell of David hiding in a cave from King Saul. Both psalms show us how wildly our emotions can fluctuate even though we believe in God. In Psalm 57, which we looked at before, David sees the cave as a place of God's protection. Maybe he was thinking of 1 Samuel 22 and the cave of Adullam, which means place of refuge. And that cave was not only a refuge for David, but became a refuge for the distressed and discontented who were also fleeing from Saul. A small army of about 400 men gathered at Adullam, and the number grew to 600 men. It reminds us of Christ and his rejection, calling the downhearted and the outcast to salvation in him. And now, for the church, Jesus himself is our refuge, our, quote, cleft in the rock. If this is referring to the cave in En-Gedi in chapter 24, in verses 3 and 4, David describes the cave like a death trap rather than a refuge, as he sees Saul walking toward the cave where David and his men are hiding. Now, there is no escape. David says in verse 3 that my spirit faints, or another translation would be, I am ready to give up. David cries to God, you know my way, as he wonders if this way that he has taken is really a trap. It sure looks like a trap. He cries. He is not ashamed to use the word cry. He is begging God to hear him, to care for him, to see how desperate the situation is, and to rescue him. Now, this is not an eloquent, carefully thought out prayer. This is a desperate prayer from the heart. The kind of prayer that God honors. In verse 7, his prayer kindles hope like a small spark kindles a fire in his heart. Maybe in that moment of hope, David sees God's rescue plan. Saul is not coming to kill David, but simply to relieve himself of his own discomfort. Such a mundane thing, but such is the providence of our God. David also is not a stoic. Neither is Jesus a stoic, bearing a stiff upper lip. Jesus and David both experienced sorrow and grief. They wept, they cried, they called on God in complaint, but they also praised God in exultation. As Christians, we do not have to deny our emotions of anger and fear and try to put on a good front to hide what we think is weakness. On the other hand, we do not let our fear become panic and our anger become rage and allow it to carry us away to sin. We go to our Father and we learn by His grace to bring our emotions and complaints honestly and humbly to Him. His word and the counsel of wise friends can guide our decisions, so we do not act purely out of emotion. Often in the midst of hopelessness like David's, our prayer and meditation kindles hope. And hope becomes the fire of praise. And our feelings then, well, they change. And they change all to the praise of the name of Jesus. Now that calls for an amen. Some of the thoughts from these psalms are from Timothy Keller in his book, The Songs of Jesus, a daily devotional on the Psalms. I commend it to you as a great starting point for daily meditation.